You're listening to the East of My Brother podcast.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the podcast. To the East of My Brother podcast, I am your host, Colin. So, this is part two of our interview with Miss Roxana De La Rosa, in which we talk about what is culture and how to really embrace culture. I hope you enjoyed part one of our interviews, and here's part two. Peace.
What was one of the most challenging things that you had to overcome with the culture here? I know you talked about when you initially got here, but after you've been here for, say, a year or 6 months, you know, and as you learn more about the culture, you may learn things that you particularly don't like or that may be difficult for you. Was there anything here in China that you found it was difficult to really embrace and accept?
To be honest, the most difficult part for me is to see in a very big city, very busy city, the people lose themselves because they are so busy with what they're doing that they're not really themselves or they have no time for anything else. And since I like to meet people and get to know them and what to know what they really want in their heart, not many people are willing to share that here. Because everyone is busy into their jobs and making money.
Well, when I first came to Shanghai, my Chinese friends told me Shanghai is only about making money, you know, and I was very, very surprised by that, you know, because to me, China, I still think culturally, is a country that still values family.
Yes, right? Very much.
Right. And in Shanghai, people will sacrifice and work long, long hours, right? Whereas in Shenzhen, they won't do that, right? They're going to leave work early in the evening, go home. They're having dinner with their family every night, okay?
Beautiful.
Yeah, whereas in Shanghai, as you said, it's a very colder type of...
Yeah. Yes. But I found that with the Chinese people and the foreigners, particularly the foreigners, because you tend to have some more friends, more foreign friends than Chinese friends, which would be nice to have the same amount of Chinese. But that's what I found, and that made me sad.
Really? You know, maybe I don't know, like, very enterprising foreigners, but most of the foreigners I know here outside of my job, right? Because my job is, the foreigners there are here on two-year assignments, right?
Yes.
So they have to work.
Yes.
And due to the nature of our office, and folks, to learn a little more about this, go back to my podcast where I talk about foreigner types, right? And you'll learn more about this. So the foreigner type that I come to contact with on a daily basis, well, the professional type, right?
Okay.
So married, children, they're living out in Pudong,
yes.
Right? So they have a Chinese driver, an IE. IE is a Chinese helper,
yes.
For lack of a better term. Wouldn't say maid or housekeeper, yeah. But a helper.
Yes.
But they really, beyond those two, they don't have any interaction with Chinese people, right? No, they don't. They come to Puxi, but they don't really have any Chinese friends. So it's a very different sort of dynamic. The other foreigners who I met are here for the experience, meaning they're teaching for a while, they're trying to, you know, learn, I want to learn about the culture, but, you know, they're not really, in my view, here for, they don't make a lot of money, so they're not really here for the money. Now, they may be saving money, right? And that's the problem, because a lot of people say, you know what, after 2-3 years, what am I doing?
Yes.
Right? What am I doing? And
you just see life passing by, and then you realize, what am I doing?
Right, right.
Yes.
Right.
And I think that's the problem why you don't embrace the culture, or because you are so busy in your job that you forget about who you are and what you're doing and what's the purpose of being here. So, what is the purpose? It depends what you do. What do you want? What do you want to achieve here?
What is your purpose of being here?
My purpose of being here.
Now, with you, I must clarify and say, not on the planet, right? But
yes.
here in Shanghai.
In Shanghai.
Yes.
I came here for work, but I believe that I can find my family, apart from my genetics, my parents and my brothers and sisters, blood family.
Mm.
I believe in every single person I encounter. I can see a family, extended family.
Hmm.
And that's one of my purposes in traveling and living in another country, because you can find an extended family.
Right.
And that will make you a wholer person and make things that you can construct and build and create with others.
Do you try to make your view and your, I'm going to say, love of culture, do you try to make that contagious? Meaning, do you try to influence others into embracing more culture and giving things a try, or do you...
In my experience, I cannot, for example, a friend, we were having a conversation the other day, and she said, no, you have to convince them. And I said, I don't convince anybody, because everybody needs to make their own mind.
Right.
What do they want?
Right.
So when you said influence, just the way I am and what I, when I speak and have a conversation, and allows me to express what I believe, and it helps me also to learn about somebody else. That's what I can do. Just be myself.
Right.
Now, I think that's the best influence you can do to others.
Yeah, being here in China, you know, I agree with you. I'm not going to convince you, right? I always say, I will say what I want to say, and if you take anything from it, then you got that, right? Just like in my podcast here. I have found that a lot of the Chinese people whom I've tried to develop relationships with, right, they're very open to new culture, right? And when you're foreigner here in China, it's different. So when I was living in the U.S., right, if people who aren't American travel to the U.S. on holiday and whatnot, people, Americans look at them like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Get out of the way. Da, 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 da. Right here in China, foreigners are welcome, right?
Yes.
They want them here. So it's a different mindset, and the interactions are very, very different. Because now, when I meet Chinese people, they ask me questions about my culture. And it starts a deeper conversation.
Yes.
Right? And you learn more. So I found that it takes a good year and a half for me to develop what I would call a strong friendship with somebody.
Yes.
Because, and now this is due to differences in the culture, right?
Yes.
I even know some foreigners, though, that are very wary of meeting and developing relationships with Chinese, because a lot of Chinese want to have foreigner friends. Don't really want to get to know the person, but just want to have a foreigner friend, you know, walking beside them, going out with them, sitting in Starbucks. But that's more for face, right?
Okay.
More for face.
Yes.
So when you talk about embracing the culture, and what I always say, embracing others to embrace the culture, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, as you said earlier, the ratio of foreign friends to Chinese friends for an individual, for foreigners, is typically more foreign friends. I have more Chinese friends than I do foreign friends here.
Fantastic.
Right? And, well, I've been here for a while, so, you know, it's a little different. I'm very quick to start talking to somebody. And the Chinese, I find, are so shocked that you're talking to them and don't want anything, it makes them want to talk to you some more. Because, because they're very, very curious.
I believe we are all ambassadors of our own countries and our own cultures. Because when I meet you, you are giving me something that I didn't know before, and you're telling me about you and your people and your culture and your history. So whatever impression I have from you, that's what I'm going to take with me.
Mm.
And I'm going to think, for example, the other way around, when people meet me, people think, oh, Venezuelans are like this or like that. We tend to base it into our experience with somebody from the different countries. So I think if you are the best ambassador and you know who you are, really who you are, where you come from, where you are, where do you want to go, that will help others to understand more about ourselves. And then we can work together as united and no division. And if we go, for example, globalization right now, it's going, like I said before, going so fast. But if we dedicate globalization into only the money, the monetary and the economics, we're doomed. Because it's not going to take us anywhere.
Well, there's no personal in it whatsoever. I want to go back to your ambassador comment.
Yes.
Because when I came here in 2008, that was when George Bush was president of the U.S. And for whatever reason, a lot of non-U.S. countries didn't have the best view of Americans, right? And you can feel that. When you travel somewhere and you say you're American, even from Europeans, you could feel that they're looking at you a little strange, right?
Yes.
So when I first got here, and I was dealing with some of the cultural surprises, I'll say that, and I wanted to react a certain way. I couldn't because I realized I'm an ambassador, right?
Yes.
For me, I'm an ambassador to two things. One, ambassador to the U.S., people think I'm American,
mm-hmm.
and ambassador to black people.
Yes.
And I could not be, and especially where they don't see a lot of foreigners and black foreigners, I could not be the example of the foreigner yelling, getting mad, and da-da-da, because they're going to remember that.
Yes.
So I always tell my friends here, look, you're an ambassador for your race and your country.
Yes.
So you need to act a certain way. Yeah. So I always found that also helped me learn how to not get pissed off and do something I don't want to do, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Agree.
we also had a conversation before. I want to phrase this the right way. Have you found? Well, okay, when I first came to China, I'd have some foreigner friends who would spend every waking moment talking bad about the Chinese culture. Right? We got to a point where we go to a restaurant and the waitress had trouble saying some of the dishes. And when she would leave, they'd say, why can't she learn to speak freaking English, right? And I'm like, dude, we're in China.
Yeah, in your country.
Right. We should be. But that was the mindset.
Country, yes.
And I found that, you know, now on my podcast, I try to touch on, I wouldn't say racial things, but race-based topics, right? Because that's a race-based world. But I found that a lot of the people from the mature countries,
yes.
right? I'll say a lot of Caucasian people had more of an issue with the culture. I was very surprised, though, when I hear black people talking about the people here. I'm very surprised because in the U.S., when we grew up, we were the ones they were talking about, right? Oh, you got a job, must have been affirmative action, right? What are you doing here? I mean, things like that where we were always the ones where, you know what, we got black guys in the store, lock the doors, or something like that, right? It was always, we were always the butt of the jokes or whatnot. So when I came here, I sort of felt some of what, well, I can't say I felt what the Chinese are feeling, but because the Chinese are it's very strange. I want to say minority in their own country, which sounds very, very strange,
yes.
right? Because the average Chinese person, I'm sorry, feels that the foreigners are a little bit above them, which is very, very strange, right?
Yes.
Very. And in the U.S., a lot of black people, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. okay, call it conditioning, also feel like that.
Yes.
So when I came here and I heard, you know, black people talking the same stuff, I was very, very shocked. Quite frankly, I was disappointed. And I said to them, dude, they said the same thing about us, and now you're saying it to them? How can you do that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in your experience, have you found that either the race or the country that some of your friends or people you know come from influences how they embrace or the willingness to embrace the culture?
You're listening to the East My Brother podcast.
It's a good question because it has, if you go into the really, really deeper level, it starts with the consciousness. And if we start with the globalization, the consciousness in each of us, we need to embrace, how can I say it? Yes, you have like the pattern that where you come from and then you repeat and you expect other people in other countries to behave like they should in your country. But it's like the, I don't know if ignorance is a good word to say it, but it's like not knowing how other people are and understanding their culture, their country, their behaviors, that we criticize them. But it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't criticize other people for what they do. Yes, nobody's perfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes you get frustrated, and you can talk to your friends with that frustration because we all do it. We all need to express our frustration. But at the same time, need to understand why is the behavior the way it is? why are these things happening? And once you stop criticizing the other and looking into yourself, then that will be a very different story.
Right.
Because you can also see the perspective of the person that is making the judgment, that this person is not really understanding why these people are the way they are.
Right.
Or in any culture, any reaction, any act.
Okay. So, a few more questions.
Yes.
What kind of people, in your view, embrace culture?
The people who want to go beyond the normal day. The people who want to go beyond the normal day-to-day.
I don't know what that means.
You don't? Okay. For me, the people who really want to know who they are.
Okay. Their soul. Yes. And thank you for giving me another view of culture, because, like I said, your view of culture is more individual, soul-based. Where I think about a mass of people, right? But I think about more of a city, a country.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we are accustomed to see the people as a mass, but we don't tend to really understand that we are all. The body is a vehicle, it's a car that takes us everywhere where we want to do. But the soul, it takes us to a higher level of consciousness. And the lower you think, the lower reality that you are, the more dense and the more difficult will be to understand others.
Right.
So you need to step up and go into a higher understanding of what's going on around you.
You mentioned earlier, beginning of the interview, you mentioned that you thought that people are the same, right?
Yes.
People are the same. I agree with you, and I wholeheartedly disagree with you. I think from a physical point, right? From a physical standpoint, people are the same. We have the same organs, right? I think from a individual view of ourselves, we're very similar, right? Everybody's insecure about certain things.
Yes.
Everybody has some of the similar dreams, right? But I think, and the more I've traveled, right, because being here in Shanghai, I've met more foreigners in Shanghai than I've met anywhere in my life, right? Seriously, from different countries, right?
Yes.
And I could say that because of culture, people are not the same, right? Because people's views and beliefs are so rooted into their culture, that's what makes them different. I want to give you an example. Of course, I don't have an example to give you. I want to give an example. Okay, I don't have an example for you, okay?
Okay.
But this is just it's my view based on the fact that I think culture is really what does divide people, right? Because the culture says we do things a different way than you do it. And a lot of people use that for division, right? If you think of some of the biggest issues people have with non-countries, other countries, it's the fact that they do things different. Not that they do things the same. So one can argue, which I'm doing now, I guess, is that culture can really be what differentiates people from each other, from being the same.
Culture differentiates people from being the same.
And that's why it's culture.
Yes.
That's why it's culture. Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying before, it's like the culture is a diversity of culture. But in essence, we are all the same. But if each person, each individual stays, for example, enclosed in their own religion, in their own culture, nationalism, or race, then it's very difficult to make that step towards a planetary consciousness.
Right.
And that make it easier to embrace the culture.
I agree.
Because we're traveling in the same ship.
Right. The more you embrace culture, the more you sort of tear down that wall of the differences.
Yes.
But even, no matter how much I embrace the Chinese culture, I will not be Chinese.
Of course not.
Right.
Of course not. You're not Chinese. You come from a different country, different genetics, different. Built up.
Right. No matter how much I embrace the Chinese culture, I will not be part of the culture in China. Because, I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, if I go to Canada, I'm Canadian, if I go to if I go to Venezuela, right, and learn the language, learn the culture, mm-hmm. I would more likely feel like that part of the culture because there are people who are like me in that culture. Whereas in China, it's still very based on unless you are Chinese Asian looking, you're not part of the culture. That's why we're called foreigners here.
Yes.
And no matter what, you're always a foreigner. You're not. I've never heard a Chinese person say that they're the foreigner, saying that there's somebody that's not naturally Chinese who's part of the culture, part of the family. You're always going to be a foreigner. And here, to me, I hate the word foreigner, right? But
yes.
You're always going to be well versed in the culture, but never truly accepted as.
But I think that is the problem because we tend to divide and try to think that we are going to be Chinese or we're going to be Australian in my case or we're going to be New Zealander. It's not about being that. It's about being who you are. And the other one, I am Venezuela. If you are a good Venezuelan and you're a good Jamaican and the other one is a good New Zealander and good Australian, good Chinese, that will make us the whole.
Right.
You don't need to expect to be the other person. I don't expect to be called Australian. I expect to be called Venezuelan that loves Australia.
Right, right,
and
right,
Australia
right, right.
has been a part in my life.
Right.
Very important. But the embrace, for me, embrace is to embrace, to hug in a way.
To accept
the culture. But that doesn't mean I'm going to become that culture.
Okay. Fair enough. But as you embrace the culture, does the culture need to embrace you back?
Of course. It's a reciprocal. It's a give and take. If I give, I receive. If I don't give, I won't receive.
Mm.
It's always balanced. The universe is balanced.
Mm.
It's never one way. It's always both ways.
Okay, so we have to wrap this up. Before we do, though, I do want to ask you to give two, three pieces of advice to those who want to go abroad, want to learn new culture, don't know how to do it, and don't really know what to expect. What pieces of advice would you give my listeners who, 6 months from now will leave their home country for the first time in their life, okay? And, drop down into a new culture for, say, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months?
Okay. The experience I have had is to feel that each person in each nation is like a family, like my family, my friends, my brothers and sisters. It's an experience. And when you experience that, it's fantastic. My advice is just when you travel, when you live in another country, is just to realize that the planet is very small. And today, more than ever, with all the globalization, the communications is so fast, we can connect even faster. So the communications that I have is that it's good to realize that we are navigating in the same space. We are all together. So we are one planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are one nation. And my advice is just to try to open your mind and see that. Once you see that, you can pass any barriers culture.
Yes.
And the imagination is like another brain, another imagination that can take you higher. And imagine and travel in your mind. And then you can see and you can go through many, many places. And that will give you at least a help to be yourself.
Mm.
It will help you to be an individual in the world.
Mm.
And once we connect and we turn that light inside, it will be wonderful.
You are, you're very philosophical as well, So thank you.
That's what has moved me to travel and to know. That philosophy, that to get to know who I am and where I come from. But when I say that, it's more than just my parents. It's beyond the universe. And who am I? What am I connected to?
Right. Let me add one thing. Since this is my podcast, I'm going to add a couple things to your list, right?
Okay.
I'll add two things. One, find like-minded individuals, right, when you go somewhere, because they will help you learn new things about the culture. Everybody gets a little nervous, a little lonely when they go somewhere else. So find other folks who want to embrace the culture as well and do it together. The second piece of advice I would give you is to get up off your butt and go, right? If right now, if you do not have a passport, get a passport, okay? Find a way to get abroad. If you're in North America, I don't mean Mexico or Canada. If you're in Europe, I don't mean in Europe, okay? If you're an Aussie, I don't mean New Zealand, okay? Find a way to get to a culture where it's vastly different than yours and just have fun with it. Just have fun with it. So, once again, thank you very much for joining the podcast. You know, so much of what you said is so true. And it's very refreshing for me to hear it because I used to always say, still say, I'm a citizen of the world. And you say you're a global citizen. You know?
Well, it's practically the same.
Right.
Citizen of the world. It's that, just the words, playing with words.
That's my point.
Yes.
That's my point. So it's been very refreshing to hear me. You know, Roxana has lived in, what, five countries in the last 18 years, which means that she's always on the move, and she's on the move again. So she will be relocating to South China in a little while. Leaving the wonderful Shanghai weather for the hot weather of South China. So let me just be one of the first to say to you, one, goodbye, and wish you the best. And please, you know, once I get this Skype thing working, we definitely want to get you back on the podcast to say a little more. So before you leave, I need you to do something all my guests do and just say thank you. Just say how wonderful and fulfilling your life now is for being on my podcast.
Thank you, Colin. And it's been wonderful to be here. Just want you all guys to remember that we're in the same space. We're traveling with our brothers and sisters from the other Chinese, Caucasian, Latins, anywhere. They're all brothers and sisters. And thank you to the East My Brother podcast.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, folks. We're going to get out of here. So once again, thanks for downloading the podcast. This is Colin. Peace.
All right.
Hey, folks. If you want to submit questions or any general feedback, please utilize the email we have set up for the podcast. That is totheeastmb@yahoo.com. That is totheeastmb@yahoo.com. All right. Hope to hear from you. Peace.